momentous morning as we think about our study in Colossians and the very special study this has been. From working through these two books of Philippians and Colossians, it's just been, and I don't know how many times I've gone through this through preachers, teaching, and other lessons, but this particular study has been so special in my life, and I'm so grateful. One of the new toys that I got is a smartphone, you know. The reason they make smartphones are for dummies like me. But what is really neat about this phone is all I do is click, and I get the entire Bible on here. And I just scroll down. So if I'm waiting someplace or I'm stuck someplace, I just pull this thing out, and I'm reading Scripture. And it's incredible how you can just lock into some wonderful truths and say, now, what were we talking about last week? Let's look at that again. One of the lessons today that Chris is going to share with us is the one that we all love, from the topic on submission, about what husbands and wives should be following. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. As we have examined these truths, I recall this particular verse so well, because I was at a luncheon one day in my other world and other life, and after lunch, one of my colleagues looked at my hand and said, "Hey, is that what I'm just noticing your wedding ring?" He said, "Is that Hebrew for love?" I said, "No, that's Gentile for slave." So I had some good thoughts about this text as we're going to be studying it in its fuller truth and application. I've been away for a couple of weeks, and Corey and I had a speaking engagement in California. It was really a neat opportunity because we were with the man who was the building chairman of this building. And Chip knows him very well. He's a good friend of him because Chip was also part of that project. But it was such a neat experience to be with Bill Guy for a couple of days because he's 90 years old. And he's like, we were at this retirement community of about 350 people at Santa Barbara, California. And it was such a neat experience. It's like the Garden of Eden anyway, you know, on top of this mountain and flowers and everything, streams and ponds. It was just incredible. But Bill Guide at 90, who was, had a big part in the beginning years of this church, it is such a model of faith and consistency. And he was like king of the campus. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Everywhere I went, it was like, "Oh, you know this guy? Well, you are really, you know, special too then." And on the special cable TV that they listed what was going on campus that day, and they said, "Richard and Gloria Cobb speaking, etc." And that's all they said about us. And then they said, "Friends of Bill Guyton." I thought, well, that's my ticket to this place, okay? Anyway, I just got to tell you this personal experience. I've had a great morning today because for the last 2 hours I was at St. Mary's Hospital. It just so happened that my wife had a crazy dream, and in confronting the incident in her life, she got out of bed and fell. Well, in falling, she broke her clavicle. And so there was a big swelling here, you know, and we're examining this at 4 a.m. and said, "Yeah, you gotta take care of this and go take care of this." So we did dressed and on the way to St. Mary's, and well, you know, you're going down this bay, pitch dark, and I hit a deer.
Oh.
So it's great to be back, guys. It's really wonderful to be back. But what a joy. And I just want to tell you that each Saturday morning when I was away, all I could do was think about you guys and the experience of coming together every week and the friendship and the blessing that is brought out here. I want to tell you about our giving, and then we're going to turn it over to Greg here. We were able to present to Hill Point Church a check for $1,000. So thank you for your generosity and your special participation and blessing. And it's just a note of appreciation for your commitment to the ministry that's going on in this campus. Okay, great.
Very quickly, next week, actually, Henry is going to be visiting us live via Skype, so he's going to be speaking. The following week is actually going to be Easter. And then we're going to come back together, and we're going to look for a few testimonies from men here to kind of wrap up Colossians. The next session will be this summer. We're going to be talking about what we're going to be doing there. But one of the things I'd like to do, we're looking at a series, maybe a summer series. We may do another book of the Bible. We thought of Jonah, for instance. But what we may do is just do a summer series. So if you have something that you've thought of that you would like to contribute as an idea, go ahead and just write that on a piece of paper or give it to us at the end of this session today. We'd like to do that. And then what I'd also like to do is, why don't we just go ahead now, we'll open up in prayer for Chris. This is a great section of Scripture. This is a section of Scripture that, you know, and we studied in Philippians where it said to have this mind which is also in Christ Jesus. And that mind that Christ Jesus has is that mind of humility, that mind of service, that mind of obedience. And how does this play out in our lives and in our relationships? And Chris is going to talk to that. So let's go ahead and we'll lift him up in prayer. Oh, Lord, we have a lot of prayer requests. We know even right now that Bruce is with his father, Lord. His father, Lord, we hope is with you right now. And his father died, Lord, and he's going to be doing that funeral. So, Lord, we pray that you'd anoint Bruce as he speaks at that funeral. Lord, we thank you so much for Chris being obedient, Lord, obedient to you, obedient to your call, and faithful, Lord, to present your word today. So, Father, we ask that you just fill him with your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that as Richard said, that he'll guide us a friendly God. And that's why he's announced as a friend of him. And Lord, that's what we all want to be. We want to be your friend to learn about you, to understand you, and to be obedient to you even more. And Lord God, we just pray that you bless Chris right now in Jesus' name.
I'm used to my mother dressing me in the morning, so.
All right. I'm not sure how the Bible, but we're going to work with this little lower podium here. So, good morning.
Morning,
Richard. We all know that. We all know that proper study of the Bible. Means that we don't just look at one passage in the Bible if there are other passages in which the Holy Spirit speaks on the same topic or a related topic. And this is perhaps nowhere more seen clearly than in today's passage from Colossians. In fact, the passage from Colossians, Richard just read half of it in about 3 seconds, is really a sort of a Reader's Digest version of a more complete treatment of the subject in Ephesians. I don't have time to read from both, so most of the reading I do this morning will be from Ephesians. I'm going to start out and read a portion of that work, and I'd actually like you not to read along in your Bible, but just to listen. Maybe if you want to close your eyes, that's fine. The Lord says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." There's a definite connection between... And you can open your eyes now. You don't have to look at me if you don't want to. There's a definite connection between being filled with the Spirit and the four activities that immediately follow in this passage. And we have to make sure we don't get the order of this backwards.
We do not become filled with the Holy Spirit because you do these four things. Rather, these four things are what you will do if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It will be your nature. So it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does that mean? You sometimes hear people talk about doing something to honor someone's memory. Often the someone they're talking about is no longer living. You might hear this at a funeral. Honor is just another word for reverence. They're usually talking about maybe showing bravery or patriotism or compassion to honor someone who was brave or patriotic or compassionate. We imitate that behavior and it honors that person. So in this context, when the Bible says that someone who is filled with the Spirit submits out of reverence for Christ, it's referring to the fact that the way in which Christ submitted to others was so exemplary that we honor him when we submit to others. In fact, if we are filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always lead us to submit to others. So, to whom did Christ submit, and what ways did he submit? First, as a member of the Trinity, he submitted to the Father by going along with the plan in which he would lower himself to become a human and then would be killed for something he wasn't guilty of. That's certainly submitting. Second, as a human, he submitted to the will of the Father in every aspect of his daily life and existence. I spoke about this extensively a few months ago when we looked at the humility of Christ. The Bible also says that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, sent by the Spirit, and was in the power of the Spirit. So he submitted not only to the Father, but to the Holy Spirit as well. Finally, the one that's not so obvious. As head of the church, the body of Christ, he submitted to each one of us who comprise the church, who make up his body. But he didn't just submit to those who are members of the church. He submitted to all those who had the potential to become members of the church. That would be everyone who has ever lived. He submitted to each one of us. Just how did he do this? By thinking of us first, and of our well-being, and of what we needed to become children of God and give glory to the Father, and then by doing whatever it took, becoming human, living a completely submissive life, dying on the cross. And then for some who allow themselves to be filled with the Spirit, by taking up residence in us and living our lives for us. As Galatians 2:20 says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus put us first and himself last. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one at whose name every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and he puts us first. And so it is with those who are filled with the Spirit. They honor Christ by doing what he did, by living a life of complete submission to everyone. Really? I'm not kidding. The Bible is not kidding. Submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. And that life of complete submission begins with submitting to the Lord. If we don't submit to Christ, but his will first and ours second, allow ourselves to be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit, we don't have a prayer of being able to submit to anyone else. We might be able to get along with our wives or boss or co-workers, but submitting goes way beyond getting along. The submitting the Bible is talking about is the kind of submitting that Christ did, where we want nothing for ourselves and want everything for others. And we do this solely to glorify the Lord. Let me get back into the passage today.
Do we need a funny story right now, by the way? I have a couple people nodding off. So, so a couple weeks ago, my wife took her parents to a funeral of her aunt down in Illinois, in Freeport. They're in a nursing home and have all kinds of problems. Her dad is legally blind, can't hear in one ear, can't really hear out of the other ear either. Permanently catheterized, double hip break, double knee replacement, walks with a walker. He's sitting about in the third row from the front, and the priest at the service, it was a Catholic church, was in the middle of giving his sermon for the service. And my wife said it wasn't the most inspired sermon she'd ever heard. All of a sudden, her dad goes, at the top of his lungs. I mean, and he might not have even been able to hear that. He was audibly yawning because he's deaf. She said about 15 seconds later, the immediate family who was sitting in the first row, their shoulders just started to shake. They're laughing so hard. I have one more funny story that's even better than that. I'll save that for later on. After. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, in the same way that Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is now the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives also should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives. The passage then goes on to speak about things that children should do, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, bring them up in the training of the Lord. It talks about slaves and masters, which, as we all know, is really sort of about workers, bosses, or really any other personal relationship that doesn't fit into the family there. And it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and respect, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. And it says, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Going back to the original verse I read, submit to each other. Submit to everyone. Every reference in this passage I just read about earthly relationships refers to the Lord as the basis for that submission in some way or another. It would be accurate to say that we should submit to everyone else as though the other person were Christ and we were submitting to Christ. And in fact, we are submitting to Christ every time we submit to someone else. There can be no preconditions to submitting. There can be no looking at the other side of the relationship and whining when they're not doing their part. There shouldn't really even be any thought about what the other side of the relationship is doing, whether they're doing their part or not. And that's why I'm not going to spend any time at all this morning talking about wives submitting to their husbands. There aren't any wives here today. They're the other side of the relationship. The problem for many of us, and I'll raise my hand first and say, the problem for me is that I focus on the wrong side of the equation. In fact, we get it wrong entirely when we look at it as an equation. Mutual submission is not an equation for us. But if it were an equation, men, it would start with us. I think the Bible is very clear on that. It says that husbands should love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It was Christ's love that came up with the idea of the church. Christ's love that moved him to become a man and die for the church. Christ's love that gave us his written word to guide us. Christ's love that gave us the Holy Spirit to fill us and lead us. Christ's love that results in him actually making his home in our hearts. All this done independently of man, not only independently of man, but in the face of fierce opposition by man. Now, some submitting is easier and some is harder, right? Here's made up two examples. Here's an easier example. You've been unemployed for 2 years, your unemployment has run out, you've had to deplete your savings to buy groceries, and then out of the blue, someone offers you a job. It pays almost what you were making before, you don't have to travel, your boss is a very nice, cheerful, fair person with all kinds of knowledge of the business, way more than you have, and he seems to be very willing to take time with you and patiently train you. Pretty easy to submit to this kind of boss, isn't it? There's a harder kind of submission. You just got passed over for a promotion. Your new boss is in her late 20s. Knows half of what you know, makes 50% more than you make, starts every sentence with the word like, texts on her cell phone during meetings, and barely acknowledges your existence. The idea of any kind of submitting to this person makes you want to puke. But this submitting that makes you want to puke is a piece of cake compared to the submitting that Christ did and still does for the church, for its past, present, and future members. Submitting to one another is not limited anywhere in the Bible to submitting only to other believers. Someone who is filled with the Spirit will put the needs of everyone else first and his own needs last. And as we submit more and more to the Lord and are filled more and more by the Spirit, that's not a once and done process, our submitting to others will become greater and greater and easier and easier, though some of it will still be hard. But we won't be able to submit to anyone in the way the Lord wants us to submit unless we are filled with the Spirit. It's just not possible. If it were, there would have been no need for Christ's command through the Apostle Paul to be filled with the Spirit. We could have just done it on our own without the leading of the Holy Spirit. As we've discussed so many times here on Saturday, guys, the Lord is always looking for us to surrender to him that which is not easy for us to surrender. This is what leads to spiritual growth. And no matter how much we surrender, there will always be something more that the Lord is aware of that we're not willing to surrender. And that's just what he wants. It's the same way with submitting to each other. Submitting to some people may seem very easy to us, or in any event, we may at least think we've finally done it. And if we have, that's great. But just like Christ, right up to this day, has never stopped putting others first, the Holy Spirit has more submitting in mind for us. Maybe more submitting to that person we feel we're already there with, but in new ways. Or maybe with people that we freely admit we have absolutely no desire to submit to. Think about this past week. Anyone that you have no desire to submit to? That doesn't jive with what the Bible says. Don't forget the biblical example of submission. Others first, and we last. So one more tale from the funeral, and then some final comments. So they're now at the point in the Catholic service where, I know probably half of us are former Catholics, so we'll relate to this, where they're going to do communion. And in the Catholic Church, they have the, they call them the gifts, I believe, or the elements, the host and the wine and things that are set in the aisle, and then someone from the congregation brings the offering up to the priest. And so the priest is standing on the altar, and he's got the two 12-year-old altar boys next to him. And it's time for those gifts to be brought up. And since my wife's aunt died from Alzheimer's, and half of the people who were at the service were well over 80, no one thought to appoint anyone to bring those gifts up, nor did the priest. So at that time, he's just standing there like this. He finally zeroes in on some woman in the front row and looks at her and goes, and looks behind her, back up the priest, goes like this. She doesn't have a clue. There was a bright young, probably 16-year-old, my wife said, in the congregation at the time. And he gets up out of his seat, crawls over two people, and walks over to where the elements are. And the priest sort of relaxes a little bit. He stands in front of the elements, looks up at the priest, looks down at the pile of hosts, crosses himself, grabs a host, and takes it up and starts to move it toward his mouth. The priest goes... Kid stops, looks at the priest. Priest goes... He puts the host back down, and finally the elements are brought forward, and the mass is able to be concluded. So, I didn't really talk at all about how to submit to your wife, or your kids, or your boss, or your employees, or your coworkers, or your neighbors, or your friends. That was intentional. You already know how to submit to them, how to put them first and yourself last. It's just that you can't seem to do it. You can do it sometimes with some people, but not all the time. And with other people, you can't do it at all, nor do you want to. And nothing I can say is going to change that. The desire to submit to others, the desire to submit to others, and to put them first and yourself last, is not something you get from listening to a talk, or a sermon, or reading a book, or even, and I'm not being blasphemous, from reading the Bible. Some of us have been reading the Bible for more than 50 years, and we still struggle mightily with putting others first and ourselves last, with putting everyone else first and ourselves last, and doing it consistently and frequently, but more importantly, with actually wanting to do it. The desire to submit and the ability to do that comes only from being filled with the Spirit. That desire does not come from a talk, nor from a book, nor from good theology, nor from studying Bible passages. If it did, we'd all be there already, wouldn't we? And so, men, this morning, be filled with the Spirit, submitting to everyone out of reverence.
Allergies are killing me.
Allergies are
killing me. I got up this morning and I had
they're just wet. I want to ripple them.
Oh, okay.